Dr. Mohammed Samak is advisor to the Grand Mufti of Lebanon and secretary of the Committee for Muslim-Christian Dialogue in the Lebanon. He is also the author of more than 20 books on Arab affairs, interreligious dialogue and politics and religion, and was one of the guests at the 2010 Synod of Bishops for the Middle East. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges, he expressed his hopes regarding the legacy of Pope Benedict's visit to Lebanon and the advantages of conviviality between Christians and Muslims.
I really hope that this visit will implement what the Synod about the Middle East has already stated and decided, that Christians of the Middle East should remain in the Middle East, should stick to the Middle East, because Christianity was before Islam in the Middle East, and Christians were there, and they are there, and they will remain there in the Middle East. And I hope the visit of Pope Benedict XVI will encourage Christians to follow this line and to live together with the Muslims of that part of the world.
Do you think that Lebanon, in this regard, can prove an example, be a role model to the rest of the Arab world? Because it's an Arab country where both Christians and Muslims live alongside each other and share a stake in the governing of the country.
Yes, of course. Here I remember with great appreciation and respect to what late Pope John Paul II said about Lebanon, that it is a message and it is more than a country. This message is a message of conviviality, of living together. And the Christians and Muslims are really in a position to give a message to plural societies in the Middle East and all over the world. It is true that some politicians and political parties in Lebanon are not always up to the standard of this message. But if you look into the relations between religious leaders and religious communities in Lebanon, you find that this message is very sincere and very well respected. So Lebanon is in a position to be the message, and it will be the message of conviviality in this part of the world.
And are you confident that this conviviality between Christians and Muslims in Lebanon can survive, you know, despite all the turmoil one sees going on in the Middle East region?
Well, I don't say that it can survive. I say it should survive, and it should play its role in bringing together plural societies into this concept of conviviality, because there is no other way to live together except by accepting and respecting differences, differences of religions, differences of languages, of culture, of ethnicities. This is God created us different, and God wanted us to be different. And we are going to be different until the end of time. So the only way to deal with these differences is to accept them, respect them, and to live with them.
You have talked in the past about the lack of what you called equal citizenship for Christians in many Middle Eastern countries, and what you called the misunderstanding of the spirit of Islamic teachings that lead to negative intellectual and political content, and that the end result of this is that, you know, so many Christians in some Middle East countries are emigrating. Do you still feel that solving these issues is key to keeping Christians in, as you say, this part of the world where they've been for so many centuries?
It's true. Christians are migrating. Big numbers of Christians are migrating, but at the same time, big number of Muslims are migrating for political, economical, and social reasons also. But the Christian migration is really very significant in the sense that it is very dangerous. It is dangerous for Christians. It is dangerous for Christian-Muslim relations, because it indicates that Islam does not accept the other, which is not true. And it is the duty of Muslim to prove that it is not true by respecting equality in citizenship, by having civil state. Because according to Islamic teachings, there is no religious state in Islam. Even there is no clergy in Islam. And this means that clergy has no political role. So the only way is to have civil state and equal citizenship by which Christians and Muslims will enjoy their religious freedom and equal duties in front of one law.
And do you find that this is a message that is receptive when you speak to other Muslims in the area, or is it sometimes difficult to get it across?
Well, it is a message accepted by the majority of Muslims. Now, there are extremists who refuse this logic, but it is out of context of Islam, their refusal, because extremism is not part of Islamic teaching, is not part of Islamic doctrine. That's why, because of extremism, it's not only Christians are suffering in the Middle East, we Muslims are suffering too.
As you yourself mentioned earlier, you were one of the three Muslim participants at the Synod of Bishops for the Middle East held in the Vatican in 2010. And you have also been on record as saying that dialogue is your bread and butter. So what have you learnt from Christians during your dialoguing with them that you particularly value?
Well, I learned a lot, let me say, but I learned more by living with my fellow citizens, Christians, in Lebanon and in the Middle East. We live together. It's not theoretically that we make a dialogue. Dialogue is a way of life in my country, in Lebanon. If you just give you a small number that indicates something to you, that more than 30% of students in Catholic school are Muslims. So through education, through living together, we can learn from each other, we can live together. And we have many organizations, NGOs and religious organizations that build bridges between our two communities. In Lebanon, it is really, and I'm not exaggerating at all, it is really living together is safe and is a model and is an example to be followed.